and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Holden.
Today's episode is all about the effects of sleep on your health.
Indeed. I wanted to kick off with a quick stat today. I sent this out to my email list a little bit earlier on in the week, and I think it surprised quite a few people. Obviously, it's not going to be too relevant to females, but there was I think it was a TED Talk or a podcast, I can't remember now, that I was listening to last week, and it was that men who sleep for 5 hours per night have significantly smaller testicles than those who sleep for 7 hours plus.
It's very not viable to a woman.
Yeah, but for a guy, like if you listen to this and you go in this afternoon, or even as a female and you want to pass it on to your other half, and say, do you know what, have a little play with your plum tonight, feel small and usual, have you been getting less sleep? Maybe that's a direct correlation. And plus, if you have a little feel around with your nuts as well, obviously it's a good opportunity to have a little look for any lumps and bumps on a more serious note as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we'd always recommend people to do that. Women with your breasts and guys with your balls.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's really important. I don't care about it.
It's really important. I think, I know that it's kind of a bit of a jokey thing, but that stat has been proven in regard to testicular size. And yeah, just as a reminder, check your nuts.
Love that. So I think sleep in general is so undervalued in health and fitness into just how important it actually truly is. A good night's sleep is literally as important as regular exercise, a healthy and balanced diet, and it actually impacts our ability to train, recover, and adapt to training. And I really feel like it's not something people think about. Like, they'll be smashing their gym sessions, they'll be hitting all their calories, whether in a deficit or surplus, whatever they're doing. Getting 5 hours sleep, scrolling on Instagram until 12 o'clock at night, well, you're literally undoing all your progress.
I think that's one of the big things. Obviously, that's a huge one, especially for anyone listening who's into health and fitness and training, whatever sport degree to that extent that may be, is that performance is going to be massively hindered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an easy indication that when you go into the gym and you're absolutely shattered after having not much sleep or a disrupt night's sleep, that you are going to probably be lifting less, you're going to be moving a little less, you're going to be more run down, so you're not expending as much energy, you're not going to be performing as well as you usually would. And there's other things that, like slower alertness, which is a big thing when you're in the gym, which is going to sometimes or can increase the likelihood of injury, which obviously isn't ideal.
You're going to be getting in the gym consistently,
because your concentration's not as good, and also you're going to tire quicker, because one of the things that does happen when we have a lack of sleep is obviously we notice that our energy levels drop, and that's because when we have less sleep, you actually struggle to metabolize glucose, which is what gives us that either quick burst of energy or longer lasting energy, which means our energy levels are broken down instead. So it's often why we tire a lot quicker during workouts.
And obviously the thing as well, and this is what all the research shows, and this is an immediate fact. So there's an immediate negative effect on your hormones, like Ben said, on your exercise performance and brain function. And it can also cause weight gain and increased disease risk in both adults and children. Mm-hmm. Obviously the weight gain and the increased disease risk is longer term. And I actually do have a study that I just quickly want to tell you about that actually looked into fat loss and sleep. And I really wanted to share it with you because, like, we always ask our clients, we ask people on the school every single week, how did you sleep? How was your week of sleep? Maybe they put on like 3 pounds. And a lot of the time they don't even consider that they were stressed at work or that they had really, really bad night's sleep. Now, there was a study that looked into the fat loss element. Two different groups completed a 10-week resistance training program, so a weight training program. One of the groups received a pretty basic sleep health education intervention before the program, and they were always reminded about the importance of sleep. Now, the other group was blinded to the intervention, and they don't know anything about sleep. So for them, it's just 10 weeks of training. Both of the groups gained lean mass and lost fat to some degree, but the exercise and sleep group, so the ones who were getting all this information about sleep and how important it is, they actually lost significantly more fat mass and experienced a significantly larger reduction in body fat than the group who were not even thinking about their sleep. And I just think that is so interesting, because obviously when research studies like that are published, it speaks volumes. Yeah. Because the fact that a group who were very aware and they were always reminded of how important sleep was and that they need to be off their phones, they need to be getting at least 7 to 8 hours, they lost more body fat. You might be sat there at home thinking, Jesus Christ, like I get like 6 hours a night, it's always disturbed, and I've actually hit a plateau with my weight, and you've not even considered it could be sleep.
It's like that whole thing that you hear spouted a lot of time of like eat, sleep, train, repeat, and
that song? Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. That a song?
Loads of variations to it, wasn't there? Of Utter Madness, but it is actually a massive important element to growth and recovery. And I think if you take someone who, or take two people who are really similar, in like weight, height, build, sex, age, doing the same training program, following the same diet, got the same goals, if all variables were the same, which I know that'd be very hard to measure, and genetically kind of makeup was similar, that the pair, you could probably be getting less results just due to the sleep variable and the control that being different, and you getting less sleep than the other person, you would see less significant results for that period of time just because you're getting less sleep.
It makes complete sense. And obviously what we said before with the fat loss, and over the past decades, both sleep quality and quantity has declined. In fact, many people regularly get poor sleep. And I personally think this is really prominent for people who are around our age range, because social media is such a constant in people's lives, in terms of it's always there, there's always something to look at, there's always something to scroll on until, I don't know, 12 o'clock at night. And it's really common, and we've all been there. I mean, Ben loves a scrolladola. Yeah,
indeed.
And it can get to like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and you'll literally be sat there thinking, shit, I'm getting up in 5 hours. And I've been on my phone for this whole period of time. And obviously the thing that you might have all probably heard of is the way that it affects with the blue light, in terms of how this keeps you awake, and rather than increasing your melatonin, which is kind of like your sleep hormone where everything's dark and you're getting ready for bed, you're increasing your serotonin, and this bright light that you're staring into your phone, it's actually keeping you up. Now, I do have 4 or 5 points that I can go through in terms of how you can prevent this, but I will do that at the end. But with the blue light situation, it affects your circadian rhythm, which is like your natural cycle, which as apes, we woke up and you wake up in the morning, in cavemen, and naturally by the sunlight you wake up and fall asleep. And it's like that sort of thing. But when you have your phone or laptop or iPad, whatever it is, it tricks your brain to thinking it's still daytime at like 11 o'clock at night, which reduces melatonin. And that's supposed to help you relax. So it's no wonder we can't get to sleep when we've been scrolling on our phones.
Well, some people actually take melatonin tablets, don't they, before bed?
Yeah.
I've never actually
melatonin
tried that.
Or like sleep tablets. People do when they're traveling long haul as well. I think you try and take something to obviously help you get into a deeper slumber. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go through some of those things you can do more near the end of the podcast in terms of how you can prevent the social media situation and being on your phone.
Yeah, obviously one of the big fun things that we talked about while you've just been through there is the effects that has on fat loss. One of the bigger things and one of the bigger impacts it actually has an impact on, which I know a lot of our listeners and our audience are very interested in, is muscle building. And it can be quite significant as well, because obviously at the end of the day, like I've explained a lot of times, even if you're on a weight loss journey, I still think and still believe that you should be looking to accumulate some muscle mass and build some muscle mass so you don't look like an empty as the bag at the end of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bit of shape to you as well. And obviously, like I expressed at the start, the hormone that is often impacted by this is testosterone. And again, there was a study on men, but testosterone is equally as important to females.
Yeah, women do have testosterone. Just a fun fact. Well, it's not even a fun fact. It's just a fact. when you're ovulating, so you're about your 14th day of your cycle, this is when, as a woman, our testosterone will peak. So around day 14 of your menstrual cycle is when you will actually be strongest in the gym. So remember that and utilize it next time you're going for your PBs.
Mm-hmm. So I think the study that they did was, they looked at guys who, like, I think it was like a longitudinal study, it must have been, because they actually found that guys who had a lack of sleep will age a man by a decade.
What? 10 years?
Yeah. So level of testosterone of that guy who lacked sleep would be that 10 years the senior.
Oh my god.
Testosterone levels, because as we age, our testosterone levels drop, which is often why a lot of guys will get like TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, older in life. And as we age as well, our sleep depreciates and gets worse. So it's, they can see by these males who had lack of sleep or weren't sleeping properly, were kind of like 10 years their senior in regards to their hormone levels as well.
Wow.
So it just showed the impact that actually had, which is crazy. So when it comes to muscle building, one of the biggest things as a guy that we need, and as a female, is good levels of testosterone, because obviously that helps us to build muscle, to recover, to recuperate. So that's a bit of a biggie, especially when it comes to muscle building. It's massive. And like going back to that fact I said before, eat, sleep, train, repeat, there is obviously some kind of logic to it as well. But I wanted to kind of take it a little bit away from the performance element as well, and look at the kind of impact that it has on the brain and the impact that it has on our day-to-day life and our learning. So sleep is almost like a save button when we're learning. So, but at the same time, you also need it to prepare yourself for learning and development as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it does both, because without sleep, the brain can't absorb and it won't take things in like on a day-to-day basis. I think you'll notice it like when you're tired.
Oh God, you literally
you're
like...
You're trying to take shit in, it's like, fuck me, wake up.
Yeah, or even you feel really, I get really angry when I'm like tired, because I physically can't concentrate. I get like foggy brain. I can't think properly. Like we were tired in the gym this morning.
I'm a moody bastard. To be fair though, I was, you know, like sometimes I subconsciously think like when I'm tired.
You have to laugh.
Get moody. Yeah, you laugh. You can't be angry and laugh at the same time. So I start doing like dickhead things in the gym, pissing around, doing like sometimes to try and cheer us up.
Yeah, dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even stuff like that, though, like when I'm thinking about it more, it makes me do something to try and cheer me up. But there was, again, an experiment that was completed, a sleep experiment. There's actually this crazy big lab in America. I think it's just called the Sleep Lab.
I think for some reason I've heard of it, but it sounds like it's from a film.
It sounds mad, doesn't it? Just a sleep lab. I'd love to go there.
Oh God, I wouldn't. Imagine being all hooked up to those machines. I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
I think that's the only problem with experimental sleep is that it's not as valid, because it doesn't really replicate a natural environment, does it?
I bet the sleep lab though in America will do a good job.
But yeah, they'll also do a good job of it, and they're getting loads of groundbreaking stuff. I listened to a TED talk the other day on it, and some of the stuff that is coming out of it and new stuff and the stuff they got for the future is phenomenal. But they did this study with two control groups, one with sleep and versus one who had non-sleep.
I've seen this all nighter. Yeah,
some of the facts and the stats that came out of it are absolutely crazy. I'll reel some of them off now. So the one thing that I did found was that those who had non-sleep had a 40% deficit in ability to make new memories.
So you don't remember things
as well. So that, wow, that ability to remember things in a day and have those new memories that your brain absorbs is decreased by 40%.
So if you had to kind of, because I journal every night, so say if I had like no sleep the night before, I wouldn't be able to journal everything down that I did that day.
You probably wouldn't remember.
Wow.
One of the other things they found was that they made them basically do a test. I think it was a written test that they did. And the difference between the sleep and non-sleep evenings was that a 40% decrease in examination results. So if you think about like those nights, maybe when you're at uni or when you're doing A-levels or SAT or whatever it was, and you're like up all night, like either stressing about it or revising, you are far more beneficial to get a good night's sleep before going into something the next day.
Yeah.
Same with like interviews, anything like which is big or pending where you've got to remember a lot of things. Like 40% difference. That's the difference between
a pass and a fail.
A massive difference between a pass and a fail. So I think if anything, that indicates the amount of importance on sleep, especially before like big occasions.
Yeah. I had to be fair, I never really revised the night before an exam. I'd stop at like 7 o'clock because I was already quite aware of
sleep and stuff. Just fucking.
I mean, I'd been revising 5 months prior.
I was a little goody two shoes. Be up all evening on the caffeine, just trying to get Red Bull down me and revise. But another thing, because I think have you heard the hippocampus before?
Yes, in your brain.
Yes, yeah, so this is like the info center, which receives new memories and hold on to them, basically. So that's where we store all our memories. So they found that those who had no sleep had no signal receptors in the hippocampus at all.
Wow.
So you basically creating no new memories. And sleep deprivation almost shuts down your memory inbox, so you can't take in new experiences.
Yeah, I can imagine that, because you feel so physically tired. It's brain fog. You can't recall what the hell is going on. Yeah. You can't enjoy it. You feel like you can't smile. And when you think about it, isn't it crazy that all we're talking about right now is getting good night's sleep?
But so overrated, isn't it? And one of the other, this is even more scary, I think, because we talked about creating new memories, but they also looked at something called sleep spindles, which is like signals in your brain which come from deep sleep. And what it basically does is helps move memories from the short term to the long term storage cycle and protects our memories and important information. So imagine like that, you've got like really important memories you want to keep hold of that you want to remember. It's almost like going into your cabinet and throwing all your fucking photos away, your family.
Yeah.
It almost, isn't it? Because what it's saying is like, if you are lacking in sleep, you're going to start forgetting like the longer term, or you can't move those short term memories to long term memories, those good times you can't remember.
That's really sad.
Isn't it mad?
Yeah.
Really, so there's some of the findings that they had from that study, which I just think is like a massive wake-up call for possibly a lot of people who just really take advantage of the sleep, or just see it more as a hindrance rather than a help.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll just throw in those social media facts. I think Ben wants to talk a little bit about your immune system and as you age and your body and things. So in terms of if you're one of those people who actually struggles to get to sleep, I will give some like personal tips at the end, but this is in terms of the phone. Like, you're sat there thinking, yeah, this is me, because it honestly applies to so many people. And I also think this is also going into the older generation as well. I feel like my parents probably do this. They probably sit on their phones, maybe not in bed, but maybe downstairs watching TV till really late at night. Now, there's a couple of things you can do where you can actually reduce the nighttime blue light exposure. And this is such things as wear the glasses that block blue light. So you can get these from anywhere. Loads of people think these ones that I have are now are block blue light glasses, but they're not their prescription. But you can get clear glasses that you can just put them on and it blocks the blue light. You can download apps on your phones, on your iPods, such as F.Lux is a really popular one that I've seen. So you can actually kind of not have that blue light. I mean, iPhone have one where you can kind of change it, but I actually don't think it works. You can change the night mode. Like, mine's automatically set to do it at 10 p.m. but I don't think it works very well.
I think you did it on mine one night, because I was like, what the fuck?
Why is the screen gone dark?
Like, I can't see anything.
Yeah. But having the app is actually better. So installing those different things, you can get them on Android as well. And then also stop watching TV and turn off the lights and bright lights. Well, you're supposed to do it 2 hours before bed, and I probably know you guys aren't going to do that.
It's like pissing in the wind.
Turn the TV off an hour before. Like, I pretty much do that. Like, I'll turn the TV off at 10 o'clock. Ben will stay up for a bit longer, and I'll go downstairs and be asleep by, like, 11. So it's just trying to make a subconscious effort to actually do these few things that you know are actually going to better your health. Like, you're not just doing it to get a better night's sleep. You're actually bettering your health and your long-term health in terms of your decrease, your risk of like getting any of these diseases. And I think Ben is going to speak a little bit about this.
Just on that as well, when you're talking like what you're doing like an hour to 2 hours before bed, I don't know how many people actually do this. And I know like we are far, far from this because we train in the morning, but you actually shouldn't train and then get home and go straight to bed. So if you're one of those people who trains really late and then just like, oh, I'll just hit the sack. it's actually not great, because if you think about the way that your body's set up, so when you're in the gym, your central nervous system, your immune system, your endorphins are released, dopamine's probably really high, your brain's mega active because it's thinking about things. Like, it's not a great time for you to be on such a high and then go, okay, I'm going to go to sleep, because it's really difficult to do that. So again, like, I wouldn't be one of those people who'll just train and go to bed. Like, you need to leave it a little bit of time. I understand for some people it may be a difficult one to kind of swing around because of your lifestyle balance and what may be going on with shift work or whatever, but it's not always great to kind of just hit the sack as soon as you've trained, just off the back of that social media one as well. But yeah, one of the big things that I want to talk about as well is a few things with the body and how it affects our body, because I think when we all get into health and fitness, the whole point of it is for us to be healthier and happier. And if this is one of the things that, one of the big things that we can control to make ourselves happier and healthier, as apart from just nutrition and diet, then I think we should be doing everything possible to kind of protect that. And one of the big things that has come out of studies and sleep studies recently, and this was one of the ones that I took away from the sleep lab, is that obviously as we age, our sleep gets worse. Mm-hmm. And one of the big correlations they've made recently is between age and dementia, because of sleep. And the worse our memory gets, is basically directly correlated to the worse our sleep is. So they've kind of directly correlated sleep between dementia.
I think as well, that's important to note, because you guys might be listening to this who are around our age or in your 20s, but think about yourself when you're 50, 60. I know that's a long way away, but you do have to think about those things, because you can prevent those things now. Can prevent that future self happening to you.
That's what they're trying to do with this sleep lab, is really help elderly people, because it's a natural occurrence. Like, there's nothing that we can do about it as humans. We just don't sleep as well. And they reckon that's like one of the big reasons why dementia becomes more and more severe, because it's so directly correlated. But
it's really sad, isn't it, actually? So I wish there was more information a few years ago on this.
I know, but they are doing great stuff at the moment, and they're doing a lot of study with elderly people to help them and seduce them into like a deeper sleep, so therefore that can be protected and their mental health is better as well. But then if we look at other stuff between, like, there's massive effects between lack of sleep and the cardiovascular system and how it negatively impacts that. I mean, one of the things I found really interesting was they looked at some stats in regards, like, you know, when we turn the clocks black in spring and autumn, like we get an hour less or we get an hour more. Well, in spring, when we lose an hour of sleep, the following next day, they see a spike of 24% in heart attacks the next day. 24% that next day.
Oh my God.
Because of 1 hour less sleep. 24% spike in heart attack.
And you can't do anything about the clocks going back. That's just something happens with the world.
But that's the off balance that's set for some people, as opposed who are maybe already unhealthy or maybe already at risk of having a heart attack. That's enough to push that increase up by 24%. That's crazy. But then
stat and a half.
In autumn, when we gain an hour sleep, there's been seen a 21% reduction in heart attacks.
And this is from just getting an extra hour or taking away an hour of sleep.
And the same percentage of profile goes for 21% reduction in car crashes the next day as well.
That's actually a really big one. And I'm really happy on the roads where you can see the sign saying tiredness kills, pull over, because it's so important, because a lot of people...
21% decrease in the amount of car crashes the next day because we get an hour more sleep because we turn the clocks back.
I think as well, just thinking about it, everyone always says, like, oh, like, I never get enough sleep, I don't have time to get 7 hours sleep. Are you joking? Just go to bed an hour early. Like, do you know what I mean though? Like, oh, I don't have time to get like 8 hours sleep or 7 hours sleep. Okay, if you get up at 6 a.m 5 4 3 2 1 7 9 you can go to bed at 10 p.m you can go to bed at 10 or half 10. I go to bed at half 10.
Yeah, I know. But it's like,
it's not, I feel like there's like a stigma around going to bed earlier. Like,
but I think like when you're a kid, you've got no choice. It's like, no, fuck off, go to bed. Whereas now, because you've had the choice, it's like you can sit around and do whatever till whatever time. And obviously it isn't good for it. I just can't believe that's those stats. So if that's not a big enough indicator, it's crazy. But talking about effects on the body, the big one is the immune system. Wow, and again, yeah. This is what's going to impact illness. It's what's going to impact our future health. And if this isn't important now more than ever in regards to our immune system and what's currently going on with COVID, then I don't know what is. Mm. Because one of the things that happens is effects on natural killer cells. So these are cells and elements that help to kill cancers and tumors. Mm-hmm. So we get a direct drop in these killer cells with lack of sleep, which I means that we have a higher
your protection cells.
So we have a higher risk of I suppose cancer growing and tumors growing as a having lack of sleep over time. That's because it directly affects the immune system. So if you don't have enough sleep, we will not have enough of these to protect you in the future from cancers and
tumors. Not even just in the future, though. That's for any age group. It really is. And it's...
Well, I pulled up another stat from one of the sleep studies, and it's to do with killer cells. So if you only have 4 hours sleep, for example, then the effect on the immune system is that we have a 70% drop in killer cell activity.
You're not really giving yourself much of a chance there, are you?
Fuck me, I don't fancy gambling for 30%.
But that's what I mean. It's this should be. I really, really hope this is kind of clicking things in your bread where you're not a what? Oh, bread.
You see, your obsession with bread is just getting far too much at the moment.
In your head. I really, really hope you don't get pressurized by that stigma to have to stay up till 11:30 at night. Like, you're not a wuss if you go to bed at 10 o'clock or 10:30. I just want to put that out there because I feel like there's a massive stigma around sleep.
Well, the thing is as well that there's obviously a direct link between cancer and sleep, and the WHO, which I think stands for the World Health Organization, has now said that any form of night shift work is a probable, is it carcinogen?
Carcinogen,
which, again, I know that can't be helped for a lot of people in regards to they have to do shift work, but it's not helpful to your long-term health. And I think there's been loads of stuff published in regards to people who do shift work, and I do feel sorry for people who have no choice. But you just need to make sure that you're getting enough sleep in other areas and other places.
In the day when
because
you can.
Going back to what we spoke about first in regards to playing with your nuts, and this is a serious part of it, that the kind of the direct correlation between sleep and cancer is that the cancers that are most prominent are bowel cancer, prostate cancer, and breast cancer.
Mm.
So again, really scary kind of things and really scary numbers when we look at the severity that lack of sleep can have on our future. And it's things that we don't often think about. We go, lack of sleep, just a bit tired, wrap it off, get a Red Bull, get a Monster, I'll catch up later.
That's it, isn't it? You always mask it.
Well, we're in that kind
of... The feeling of being fatigued.
We're in that era or in that notion where everyone thinks it's fucking Billy Big Balls to get less sleep and, doing all right, I'll work harder, I'll sleep later. No, you won't. You don't need to act Big Dick. Like, you don't need to do all-nighters. Like, it just doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't help at all.
Sorry, just speaking about the caffeine element kind of things there, this is a really important point where you need to think about your caffeine timing and not consuming caffeine too late in the day. Obviously, it has numerous benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Your focus, your energy, sports performance. Like, we take pre-workout. I love a coffee, love a flat white, love an Americano, like loads of people do, which is fine. But when you consume it late in the day, caffeine stimulates your nervous system and it may stop your body from naturally relaxing at night. And in one study, it showed that consuming caffeine up to 6 hours before bed significantly worsened your sleep quality. And the actual caffeine can stay elevated in your blood for 6 to 8 hours.
Because the half-life.
Yeah, because the half-life. Therefore, drinking large amounts of coffee after 3 or 4 p.m. is really not recommended, especially if you're sensitive to caffeine or have trouble sleeping anyway. Now, you can have decaffeinated coffee. You can have decaf coffee, which me and Ben also have quite a lot of the time. But also, you have to remember there is still traces of caffeine in decaffeinated coffee and green tea and things. So that is just really, really something to be aware of, like your caffeine time and that, especially if you train at night and have a pre-workout at 6 o'clock, not a chance. you're not sleeping well.
That's one
well.
Of the things that people look at that in regards to caffeine, how long it stays in the body for, and what they don't realise it is it doesn't just immediately disappear after the set hours, depending on how much caffeine you're having. It cuts in half, so it'll drop like 200 milligrams or 100 milligrams depending on the hours that's been in there. So if you're having caffeine really late on, it still is going to impact your sleep. And this is one of the videos that I'm doing as a YouTube video this week, is in regard to a similar topic with energy drinks and the caffeine that's in them. Because one of the things that pisses me off more than anything is the people who comment on some of my posts going, oh, but it's unhealthy to drink Monster. No, it's not.
It's the same as drinking a cup of coffee.
For people like sitting offices and they've got that happy trigger arm of smashing 8 coffees in per day are far worse than me having a Monster per day, because the caffeine content in a kind of Monster is kind of similar to, like, and I'm talking about the zero sugar Monsters, by the way. The caffeine content in them is around 200 milligrams. In the, is it Venti, the largest ones that do in Starbucks?
Yeah.
They can go up to like 300 to 320 milligrams per caffeine. So the killer isn't in the consumption, it's in the quantity that you're drinking it in. So if I'm having one or two of them a day and going up to like 400 milligrams of caffeine,
mm-hmm.
for my size, weight, height, whatever, that's completely fine within my tolerance levels. But if you're bashing loads of coffee, and it's exactly the same. And I know some people get the backup water spot. I mean, don't want to go into that too much at the moment.
No, he'll go on a tangent.
I've still got off on a tangent. But yeah, at the end of the day, all I'm going to say is conclusion is not bad for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, very valid point with caffeine. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big one to look out for with sleeping. Again, it goes to that point is that after the one that I heard is, oh, sleep when I'm dead. Well, yeah, you will sleep when you're dead because you'd be fucking dead. Like, that's in
yeah, I don't really get that one. Sleep, what? It's ridiculous.
It's just one of those ego things again, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those quotes you see with like a line in the background being like, sleep when you're dead, hustle hard, 24/7, no sleep, no rest for the wicked. Stop
I have to call those people, see you next Tuesdays, but
stop that.
We'll get past that. The shorter you sleep, the shorter your life. So it's up to you, mate. The other thing that's been shown to modify is actually been shown to modify our genes. Obviously, the immune system, the promotion of tumors, long-term inflammation, and cardiovascular disease. So lack of sleep is going to impact all parts of our life, whether that's mental, physical, and emotional. And another one of those is, because I think you might have briefly talked on it when you talk about melatonin before, is that it really affects cortisol.
Yeah.
And cortisol is the primary stress hormone. It has a lot of different impacts on the body, increases sugars, i.e. glucose, in the bloodstream, enhances your brain's use of the glucose, and increases its availability for substances to repair tissues, i.e. get massive, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously a muscle-breaking hormone, so we don't want lots of it. And what they've actually found with cortisol is that people, and this is looking at different times, sleeping, this goes people back to people who do shift work. So what they actually found was that people who sleep in the day versus people who slept at night, i.e., you know, shift work, it doesn't matter how long the period of sleep was, say it was 8 hours, the people who slept in the day, cortisol levels were still higher than those who slept at night. And obviously, through sleep, we want to lower those cortisol levels so we feel better the next day, and we have a better ability to build muscle, and obviously we're less stressed as well.
That's obviously to do with your circadian rhythm as well, your circadian because you're rhythm. Not obviously yeah. supposed to be sleeping in the day. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly like what that. To do with. So the other thing that hormone-wise it's going to have effect on, and this is something that we speak quite a lot about, is leptin and ghrelin.
Mm-hmm.
Because leptin's the hormone that we want to bring down. So sleep actually helps bring leptin down and raises ghrelins. I've got that the right way around. Because leptin's the hormone that helps us make us feel full.
Feel full. And ghrelin's your hunger hormone.
What makes us feel hungry. So by simply sometimes getting more sleep, you can directly affect how hungry or how full you are from eating meals the next day, which is massively important when it comes to fat loss and dieting. So when we're talking about like getting better sleep to help with fat loss, we're not saying, oh, sleep and you're going to wake up 10 pounds later.
Mm-hmm.
But it will directly impact hormones that correlate with eating, nutrition, feeling full, and basically being greedy. So these are the things that we need to speak about. And I think this was really prevalent for me, and I've spoken about before on the podcast, is that I had, still got to a certain degree, just a lot less. I had NES, which is nighttime eating syndrome, which I've been working with a therapist on. I really suffered badly with for 12 months. It really directly affected my mental health. And it's known as both an eating disorder and a sleeping disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because I was obviously getting up in the middle of the night and eating at crazy times, not only was throwing off a load of different stuff to do with my eating patterns, but it was throwing off my sleep, messing with my leptin and ghrelin levels, making me feel hungry at really mad times, and not making me feel satisfied with the amount of food that I was getting. So that's why I was able to eat so much in like a 10-minute period. I could just keep going and going and going. So that was really a weird one for me. I think this is why I've done a little bit more research on sleep. It's why I've done a lot on the morning routine. The thing that I still need to work on for me personally is just my bedtime routine.
God, that nighttime routine. This is actually, I was going to go on to my personal tips of getting a good nighttime routine, because I've nailed it, people. I have a really solid nighttime routine. To be fair, I kind of always have. I get a bit paranoid if I actually don't go. I've got an upside down house, so if I don't go down to bed, everyone usually says upstairs to bed, but we're the opposite. So my tips in terms of actually getting a good night's sleep. So reading or having a journal, writing in something is super relaxing. You're obviously reading a book. You're not staring at a phone. If you're reading off like an iPad or a Kindle, just obviously make sure you reduce the light or have the phone blue light screens.
Just to really butt in there. I do apologise. Sorry. Do you know, like with iPads or what's the other one where you read off?
Kindle.
A Kindle. I don't know whether they've implemented something now with Kindles where to do with blue light. But again, I was looking at a study the other day, which I think, and don't quote me on it, was saying that they did a study of like people who swap between a book and like one of the pads or the tablets, and they found like a 50% reduction in melatonin versus reading a book on screen.
Yeah, I can imagine that, because you're reading a paper.
Yeah, but again, I don't know whether they've now implemented something further on to do with like the blue light thing, which decreases that. But yeah, just be careful with those kind of things.
Definitely. Nothing interesting happens past 10 o'clock, half 10 on social media. Honestly, catch up the next day. Why bother scrolling past 10 o'clock? Like, it's like on a night out, nothing interesting happens past 2 a.m. Go home. It's just one of those things you really don't need to be catching up. And this is the biggest one for me. And I believe that the bedroom environment and its setup are key factors in getting a good night's sleep. So this includes things like the lights, the scents, having diffusers, having candles, having a clean bedroom. And in one study on bedroom environment for women, around 50% of participants noticed improved sleep quality when noise and light diminished. Now, I'm all about candles, diffusers, everything. I set a low light, I get Alexa on and she's speaking to me. She talks to me like a sleep app thing. So when I'm drifting off, that's all I can hear. I have really low lights, like a rock salt lamp, and it just really relaxes me. And I'll be reading, I'll be journaling, and I'll just quite happily drift off into a peaceful sleep. And I find it a hell of a lot easier to wake up in the morning. I don't get sore eyes, I don't get a foggy head. And I go down to bed at 10:15 because I know it takes me around 45 minutes to do like my whole routine and get myself ready. So I'll be asleep by like 11 o'clock. And it's just so important. And what I've just said there are the easiest things to do. And don't tell me you don't have enough time to get a good night's sleep, because every single person does. You just have to prioritize. It's okay. You prioritize going to the gym. You prioritize doing a home workout. You prioritize your cooking, your nutrition. Why aren't you prioritizing one of the biggest factors as well?
100%. Just to add to those little notes of it, I suppose, of how to get better sleep. One of the big things, and I know this is difficult for people, is regularity. So firstly, this isn't that difficult, but a regular bedtime and a regular wake up. So go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. Your body really enjoys regularity and consistency. Yeah. But that also correlates over to the weekend. I know a lot of people like having a lie-in, but that can throw your circadian rhythm off and your pattern off a little bit of when your body is supposed to get up and wake up. So if you want to get solid sleep and, I suppose, improve your quality of life and sleep, having a weekend and weekday regularity is really, really, really important as well.
Yeah, we pretty much have that.
We do maybe like an hour hit every now and again, either side, but we generally keep it the same. The other thing is, and this is one that I sometimes struggle with, especially in your room, and this is why I have to push you away from me sometimes because you get a little bit too close for comfort, is that to keep cool, you need to keep your
I'm like a little radiator.
You need to keep your core body temperature down, and it's actually recommended that you have it about 65 degrees or 18 degrees
so
Celsius.
Get a fan,
because if you're too hot, like even like a temperature slight bit either way will massively disrupt your sleep. So heat's really important. Like, how many times do you go to bed and, like, you're tossing and turning and you have a terrible sleep when it's dead hot?
Yeah.
I sleep better when I'm cold.
Yeah, I do, because you can snuggle up into the quilt.
Obviously, the other one that you've touched on, caffeine, but at the same time, alcohol as well. Alcohol, a lot of people think, is depressant, you'll sleep better from it, but you have to sleep worse and have disrupted sleep.
You basically knock yourself out because you're pissed, you're not.
Yeah, so like,
you don't actually you just drift like into you, sleep. You yeah, just.
Mm-hmm. You actually feel like when you're coming from a night out, you sleep really well, but actually,
you don't.
Going through REM sleep and the stages of sleep, you don't actually sleep that well in regards to quality. So probably don't have too much vodka before bed. It's not ideal. The other thing, and this is sometimes, I struggle with this sometimes, and it's something that I don't do, so I probably need to take my own advice, is, do you know, if you go to bed and you're tossing and turning for like half an hour, the best practice is to actually get up and go and do something else and return to bed when you're sleepy.
Yeah.
It's like, at a point into comparison, like, it's trying to, I know it's hard because we're talking about getting into routines, but trying to force yourself to go to bed and go to sleep when you're not tired, and this is sometimes what I say to you when you go to bed, I physically can't go now because I'm not tired. It's like, you sitting at the dinner table and, I don't know, like waiting to be hungry or force feeding food down you when you're not hungry. It's going to promote bad habits. And it's the same with your bedroom. You should be going to the bedroom to sleep. Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't be going there to lie and toss around, because it starts to build the bad relationship with the room that you're in as well. So that is a biggie. And the other thing is as well that we can't catch up on sleep. I think a lot of people believe it's like a debt, and similar to, like, I suppose money, that's something that we can catch up with and something that we can pay back to the bank, but sleep isn't something that we can catch up with. We can't go 5 hours sleep on that and go, I'll catch up with it later in the day. It doesn't work as a debt. It's not something that we can repay, like you can repay the bank. And this is something that we need to realize. I know a lot of people like having siestas or having sleeps in the day, and that can be important. I think it's really good to help with awareness and stuff, but you cannot recover sleep debt. It just doesn't work that way. And it's so weird, because we are actually the only species on earth that deliberately deprive ourselves of sleep.
Yeah, we definitely are.
There's
no one else who does that.
There's no other species that the physically deprives themselves of sleep. You never go to the zoo and go, oh, there's a chimp there, he's got a few tasks to do, he needs to pick his bum a little bit more so he's not going to sleep tonight. He's got a good bit of picking to do there.
I wonder if fish sleep.
I was going to ask you a question.
If it's about fish, I don't know the answer. Fish, I think they do, they must just drift along.
It's
not like Finding Nemo, they don't go into a little anemone and sleep. If anyone knows, let us know.
That's a good question. My fucking mind's blown with it now.
Carry on.
Nah, it's blowing my mind.
Because they breathe underwater, so I was just confused how they then sleep.
But like, they float, don't they?
You still know, breathe when you sleep.
They're not, you don't get up one morning and
they don't float, they're just fish. That's how they live.
But you wouldn't get up one morning and the fish is at the bottom of the tank, would you? And you gotta knock it off, like, oh, get up today, oh, time for school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it baffled me. The question I was going to ask you was, because that's a fairly weird question itself, but the question I was going to ask you, what is the weirdest place you fell asleep?
Oh gosh, I've fell asleep many places. I think, to be fair, the biggest one for me is like falling asleep on poolside when I used to swim. Yeah, I used to be all the time. Like, wait, in the morning sessions, 4:30, little snooze. Yeah, definitely.
I think the weirdest place I fell asleep.
I mean, I've slept in like mountains and stuff when I've been ski mountaineering.
Yeah, but what I mean is, like, because you've been tired, you just fell asleep somewhere.
Poolside.
You know, of exhaustion, poolside.
Definitely. School. I used to fall asleep at school and get sent to the nurse's office because I was so tired because of swimming.
I don't think this is a weird one, because I think plenty of people probably done it before, but it was embarrassing for me. I was in, I went to Liverpool John Moores and I fell asleep in one of my lectures.
Yeah.
It was like in first year as well. So it's, you know, like when you don't know everyone that well and you kind of like, you kind of play a cool, like, yeah, make friends, make good impression, boost my ego a little bit. Well, I'm there with a full lecture hall in the middle, like sat in the middle, couldn't be any more obvious. And
had you made friends yet?
I had a couple of friends, but I wasn't kind of hitting the heights of where I expected to yet. I wasn't the jock of the group yet. And I was in a lecture and it was boring as shit, as most lectures usually were. And I think we were probably like an hour in, and you know when you just try to pull your eyelids open to stay awake. And
I used to hate that.
It was an early lecture as well. So I must have drifted off. And you know what I'm like in sleep? Sometimes I make weird noises, don't I? Yeah, there was one of them.
That's literally and what
it got, Ben does. There must have been a point, and I don't know how long I've been asleep for, and all of a sudden, I just went, nah. but proper shouted it so loud. But like, do you know when you make noises in your sleep and you don't realise that you made noises?
Oh, yeah.
So I've must have made a noise and I've woke myself back up. I'm like that, startled, then looking at the front to think what's going on in the lecture. And everyone's turned round looking at me. And I'm like,
I feel
like the biggest dick ever. And then, but what I tried to do is, because I knew I must have made kind of a noise, so I went, and tried to curve it into a bit of a cough. But no, everyone knew I was asleep and I just screamed my head off. But that's not the weirdest place that I fell asleep, but it was one of the most embarrassing. I think weird, like a lot of my mates have fell asleep in clubs. You know, like when you're out on the piss, it's like 3 a.m.
Never, ever done that. The music
was literally pinging so loud, it could have knocked the eyeballs out of my head, but he's managed to fall asleep. I don't know how people do that.
Alcohol.
But I couldn't sleep for that much noise.
No, do you know what I was just thinking? Sorry, just before we wrap up this podcast. When we used to swim, I used to have to get up at 4:20 a.m. and I used to go to bed at like 10:30. And when you think about it, as a competitive athlete,
not getting much sleep there.
Not getting a lot of sleep. 6 hours to do like a 3-hour pool session in the morning, to spend a whole day at college and 3 hours a night in the pool.
Well, do you know from...
That can't have enhanced performance. But we had no choice. We physically had no choice.
A lot of coaches don't understand the importance of sleep. And that just kind of highlights that. I remember speaking to Harry Aikens, who we've had on the podcast before, the 100 meter sprint. And well done to Harry, by the way, because he won his GB British Championship race the other week.
Yes.
I was out with him in Manchester the day before. Obviously, that must have helped him a little bit. But I was like, I stayed at his a couple of weeks ago, and I also was speaking to him about his sleep, and he actually gets up quite late, you know. I was like, oh, British competitor, he probably gets up early, he's out doing training. Nah, he sleeps in, he gets up when he feels like it, and I think that's a really good thing, and it highlights the fact that he's so amazing. Indeed, and it's one of those things that we spoke about before. A lot of people think it's embarrassing, people get classified as lazy because they get more sleep, they're not as hard working. It's bullshit. They're going to operate a lot better if they have the sleep. Mm-hmm. And I just go to show it's the same with athletes, and I'm glad that people are starting to realise that now as well. And it's something that I'm still working on, something that I continue to work on. I think it's something that you're always going to have to be conscious with, because it can be easy neglected.
Yeah, definitely. We really hoped you enjoyed this podcast and found it valuable and insightful in terms of how sleep does truly affect your health and fitness.
I hope it hasn't put you to sleep.
Put you to sleep, yeah, obviously. And have a... Oh.
No, we're there.
Oh.
What happened yesterday?
Oh, we can't say yet, though, because this goes live tonight.
Yeah, we can't say, but next week's podcast, wow.
We have the most amazing and exciting announcement for you next week on the podcast. We can't tell you on today's because this podcast will be going up later, and the announcement properly is only on Saturday. Some of you guys might have guessed it. It's the biggest project in history of the My Coach School. Again, we're so thankful for all of our members and you guys sharing the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, social media, wherever you share it. We truly are grateful.
Yeah, and the other thing I just want to mention is we've also this week launched a new Facebook group called The Glute Group.
Oh, yeah. And how could I forget?
Something that Lucy is taking command on. I will be dropping into one of the sessions to basically be a dummy, which I am most of the time.
Yeah.
Which Lucy will be using me for like hip thrust, a lot of the glute exercises. And then I'll also be dropping in to drop some knowledge bombs in the nutrition seminar. I think that's on the Tuesday.
Yes, it's a complete free event.
Can run people through the dates.
I'm going, So it starts on the 21st where everything's done via virtual. Obviously, COVID and things, we can't do a physical event. Everything's done via Facebook Live, 6 p.m. BST. There's already thousands and thousands of people in this group, which is incredible. We're going through how to train the glutes, the frequency, why your progress will have stalled, what you're doing wrong, what you need to do. I'm going through demonstrations with you, how to optimize your growth, nutrition. Obviously, we're doing that chat with Ben. You're also going to have an exclusive Q&A with me, which is incredible because it's just us one-on-one talking about your bum, how to get a peachy bum. And I'm just really, really excited, and all the women in the group, and there's guys in there as well, are so supportive. And I'm truly looking forward to it. You can find the link in the My Coach School bio for the rest of the week, and enrollment does close on Sunday, so make sure you are quick.
Yeah, so what were the dates for those seminars?
21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th of September.
Yeah, and obviously if you listen to this podcast later than those dates, then...
I apologise.
You apologise, you missed out. But yeah, it'd be a really cool event. And again, like Lou said, there's some guys in there as well, which is really cool. And I always promote guys to really look more into depth. Look more into depth at the hip thrust, the importance of the glute, because that does have a lot of benefits and transferable skills over to deadlift, over to your squat. And the very two important reasons I always give guys for, yes, Lucy, hip thrusting is one, doggy style,
shaking my head then,
and
by the
two,
way.
Missionary. It helps, it's got transferable skills, but completely. It also really helps with posture as well.
Yeah.
So a good posterior chain. If you're a guy, please jump into the group as well. It's for everyone. I will be doing some of the sessions in there as well. But
have a wonderful day or evening.
Continue to share.
Yes, and continue to share the podcast. Have a wonderful day or evening, wherever you are in the world, and we'll catch you on next week's episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.